Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
And now then in verse 5, he shall speak unto them in his wrath and in his sore displeasure, he will vex them. Now that's the tribulation. And then you see the next verse brings in the kingdom. Verse 6 of Psalms 2, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now that's the kingdom as it will be centered then in Jerusalem, where of course Zion is. And then if you'll drop down to verse 8, the verse says, ask of me and I shall give thee, that is the Messiah, the king, I shall give thee the heathen, or the Gentiles, for thine inheritance. In other words, it isn't just going to be an Israeli kingdom. It's not just a Jewish kingdom, but it's going to include the whole human race. And I shall give thee the uttermost parts of, not heaven, but what? The earth. And so this kingdom is going to be on earth. All of the Scripture defines it as such. Now, as you leave Psalms, I'd like to have you come all... Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2 for just a second. Isaiah chapter 2, another verse that we've looked at previously. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 2, verse 1 and 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, you see, Jerusalem is at the very center of all this. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days. In other words, that final 1,000 years, that 7,000. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain or the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. In other words, it'll be over all the other nations and empires that had previously existed. It shall be exalted above the hills and all what? Nations, plural. All nations shall flow into it. That is this kingdom that Israel's king will one day set up. Now, I'm going to come back to Isaiah 11 at a later time, but let's skip that for now and come all the way into Matthew. Now, as I've stressed before, we haven't taught the Gospels yet because, again, as I explained to a lady that called the other night, I said, we were coming up through the Old Testament, and I had finished teaching prophecy out of Daniel, and we had so much request for going on with prophecy out of the book of Revelation that I stopped short of going into the book of Matthew and studying the book of Acts and Paul's letters, and went instead to Revelation. So hopefully, if the Lord tarries, and as we've been talking throughout the afternoon, of course, we don't know how much longer we're going to be here. But whatever, if the Lord tarries, when we finish Revelation and we get to the other end of the kingdom and finish the white throne and all that, then we'll come back and we'll come into the book of Matthew and retrace our steps. But for now, in Matthew chapter 3, of course, you got John the Baptist coming on the scene. In verse 1, Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, now, why was John saying that? Well, because the king was there. Christ was on the scene and he was about to present himself to the nation of Israel as their promised Messiah and king. And so they were to prepare for that spiritually with that repentance and the baptism of repentance that John, of course, preached. Now, that term, the kingdom of heaven, is just rampant throughout the book of Matthew. And we'll just look at a couple of them. And you come on over, I think it's to chapter 4 in Matthew. Drop down to verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17. Now Jesus has begun his earthly ministry, And so from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. And again, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on over to chapter 9. Verse 35. Now this is all, you remember, in fulfillment of those promises made to Israel through that Abrahamic covenant. And now here it comes. The nation is there. They're in at least part of the promised land. Not all of it yet, but they're in the land. And now he's come to present himself as their king. All right, chapter 9, drop down to verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, that is, of Israel, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. You see that? Healing every sickness and every disease and so on and so forth. Now, when you come into chapter 10, and we'll be looking at all this in detail when we come into the New Testament, per se, he now chooses the 12, verse 2, and they're named, and I don't have to run over those. You all know them. But then you come down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Now watch this. He commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And put in the verb, go not into any city of the Samaritans. And then verse 6, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did he qualify it in such a narrow frame of reference? Well, because the Abrahamic covenant had nothing to do with anyone but the nation of Israel. And he knew that. He was the framer of it. He was the one who made that covenant. And don't think for a minute he was confused. I think I've shared that, maybe even on television. I remember several years ago, I was checking the cattle in my pickup, and I think it was on a Sunday afternoon, and I was listening to a preacher of a large church somewhere up in the Midwest. I remember where. And I was never so shocked, and I usually shock the ears of people that I rehearse it to. He was using this as well as the Canaanite woman for his sermon subject. And he says, you know, at this point in time, Jesus was still bigoted. You know, he wasn't taking the Gentiles in consideration. He said Jesus was still bigoted because he didn't fully understand the scope of his ministry. Now, I'm almost quoting him word for word. Now, imagine. But see, what the poor gentleman did not comprehend was that Jesus fully understood he was not being bigoted. He had a heart for the Gentiles, but it wasn't time. But he had come to fulfill the promises made all the way back to Abraham, see? And so he commanded the 12 not to go to anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I'm not going to take the time because we run so short a time every time, but you remember when he spoke with a Canaanite woman? It was the same reason. She was a Gentile. And he says, I can't give to you Gentiles that which belongs to the children, that is Israel, see? Well, anyway, you come down now in chapter 10. After he says, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, verse 7. And as you go, that is to the 12 now, remember. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see that nomenclature? Over and over, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right, now as you come on through Matthew, just stop at chapter 19. Matthew 19. Now, I'm just hitting a few of the highlights, of course. This is not intended to be an in-depth study of Matthew by any means. But now in chapter 19, as we have gone up through his 3 years of earthly ministry, and the 12 have been just so dutifully going with him every place they go. And now finally in verse 27, and you know, I always like to bring out the point that these 12 men were just as human as you and I. They weren't some super, super spiritual. They were common, ordinary fishermen and what have you. And so now they've been with Jesus for probably at least 2 years, maybe a little more. And Peter answered and said unto him, that is to Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all that is their fishing and their jobs and their occupations, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore? Now, Peter wasn't talking about his salvation. He knew he had that. He had already believed that Jesus was the Christ. But what's he talking about? Well, what are we going to have so far as our reward and a compensation for having left everything behind? All right, now look at Jesus' answer. And Jesus, verse 28, said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you who have followed me... Now, he's talking about the 12 or the 11. We've got to leave Judas out, of course. He's talking about the 11 in particular. You who have followed me, comma, in the regeneration... Now, you all know what regeneration means. That's when you restore something back to its original. So he says, when the earth is restored to its original state, as it was before the curse, in other words, when the curse is lifted, the tribulation will have ended, and the kingdom is ready to come in. That's what the regeneration is speaking of. And in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, speaking of himself, shall sit where? On the throne of his glory, which we know, as we've already seen in Psalms chapter 2, will be in Jerusalem. So he says, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you, that is the 12, we're going to have Matthias, of course, in Acts, but you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging or ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, isn't that plain English? When the kingdom is set up and the nation of Israel is now under their king, under the king will be the 12 original apostles, each ruling one of the 12 tribes from Jerusalem. They're in the land of Israel. All right, now let's look at just another verse or two. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Now let's look at Luke 21. I'm just sort of taking these off the top of my head as we go. I feel sorry for my wife. You know, I can't give her verses in advance for the camera. She's just going to have to find them and hope she gets them quick enough. But now in Luke 21, beginning with verse 25. Luke 21, beginning verse 25. Now again, this comes back to the closing days of the tribulation, but that all is tied to the beginning of the kingdom, remember. And there shall be signs in the sun, the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, that's the end of the tribulation. Now look at the next verse. And then shall they, that is, those that are still living here upon the planet, then shall they... What's the next word? See. Now, lock that in your computer because I'm going to come back and make a big point of this very word, see. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draw nigh. Now, he's not addressing the world here. He's addressing who? He's addressing Jews. He's addressing the nation of Israel in particular. And then he says to them in verse 29, Behold the fig tree. And then down to verse 31, So likewise, he said, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the... What's the next word? Kingdom. See? When you see all these things happening, the return of the Son of Man, he's coming now to the city of Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives, then know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. All right, now let's flip on over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and now, of course, the crucifixion is past. Christ has been raised from the dead in resurrection power. He has spent 40 days with the 11. They haven't chosen the 12 one yet, so he's been spending these 40 days in his resurrection body with the 11. Verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Now here again, what's the verb? They saw him. How? With their eyes. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. See that? Pertaining to the kingdom. All right. Now, jump over to verse 6 in chapter 1. And when they therefore were come together, that is, Jesus and the 11, they're up there on the Mount of Olives now, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the what? The kingdom. Hey, I just had a thought. I'm going to give you something to look for. I want you to search the gospel accounts. And you see if you can ever find a single time that the 12 referred to the Lord as Jesus. Now that's thought-provoking. You say, what are you driving at? I'm just asking you, search the scriptures. You on television do the same thing. And see if you ever find a single instance that the 12 ever referred to Jesus as just Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. And I think you're going to have an eye opening. But anyway, that's free for nothing. Wilt thou restore the kingdom to Israel? And then, of course, he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. In other words, he didn't ridicule the idea that they had of ruling the 12 tribes. Don't think that Peter had forgotten that. He was just as human as you and I. And as I think I mentioned in a program previously, if somebody told you, and if you were working with some politician, and I imagine it has happened with our president. I wouldn't doubt that probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, some of these young guys got acquainted with him, and he probably said, well, now, if you work with me and I get to be president, I'll put you in a place of importance. Now, do you think any of those guys ever forgot that? They don't forget. And neither did Peter. All right, so the kingdom, you see, has been this theme throughout all of Scripture that this kingdom is going to come on the earth where Christ will be the absolute King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Satan, as we've already seen, is going to be bound. There will be no sin. But now I guess the question that I'm trying to build up in your mind is, who is going to go into the kingdom? Who's going to be in the kingdom? All right, there are qualifications, of course. Come back to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Portion that you all know, probably forwards and backwards. You've probably heard dozens of sermons on it. And we have Nicodemus. John chapter 3. And verse 2, this same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, you see, he was head and shoulders above the concept of most of the Jews. At least he recognized that these miracles were telling him something. And he knew that Jesus was someone special. And so Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except or unless a man or a person, we got to include the whole scope, not just the male gender, but except a person be what? Born again. Now, I think a better is born from above. I think that's better than the word again. Except a person is born from above, he cannot see the what? The kingdom. Now, what does that tell you? Who can go into the kingdom? Only believers. There will be no unbeliever in the kingdom. Now, you remember, and now come back with me to Matthew 24. You remember that several weeks ago, probably a month or two ago, I had my timeline up here, the 7 years of the tribulation. And you remember that at the midpoint of the tribulation, we see the Antichrist coming in and defiling the temple at Jerusalem. And this is at the midpoint, after the 3.5 years have gone by, and the Antichrist comes into the temple and defiles it. And then Matthew 24, what verse is it? 15, I think, or 14? 15. Remember these verses? I know we look at them over and over, but that's what it takes. Matthew 24, verse 15, he says, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet," verse 16, "let them who be in Judea flee to the mountains." You remember when we studied those? All right, I call this the escaping remnant of Israel. And they go down to the mountains, to the southeast of Jerusalem. And we called them, if you'll remember, now this is review, we called them the escaping what? Remnant. It's not going to be the whole nation of Israel, but it's going to be a percentage. And they're going to escape to the mountains where God is going to protect them for this last 3.5 years. And then, as this remnant of Israel, protected down here supernaturally, even as Israel was in the desert of Sinai for those 40 years, for 3.5 years, God is going to insulate them from all the horrible events of this final 3.5 years. Now then, here's the second coming. Christ is returning with glory and power. This group of Jews, who I maintain go out in unbelief so far as Christ as the Messiah and the King. Remember, they're going to give glory to God as they see the event. But they're still in unbelief so far as Christ is concerned. But God, in His mercy and in His covenant promises, keeps this remnant of Israel insulated until He's returning, and then they're going to, what? Remember what Matthew 24 said? "And they will see Him coming in the clouds of glory." All right, now let's go back and check out our Old Testament. Come back to Zechariah. Remember again, that's your next to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah. Go back and find chapter 12 first. Zechariah. Chapter 12. Now remember that word I told you to remember? Put it in your computer. They will see Him. All right. Verse 10 of Zechariah 12. Verse 10 of Zechariah 12. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications." Now remember, this is the house of David. This is not any Gentiles. "And they shall," what's the verb? Is there any difference between seeing and looking? Not so far as I'm concerned. "And so they shall see," or "they shall look upon me, whom they have," what's the word? "Pierced." What's that in reference to? His crucifixion. See? And they're going to suddenly have not only their physical eyes open, but their spiritual eyes will be open, and they'll recognize that this coming manifestation of the Christ, of the Messiah, is the one that died back there on that Roman cross. All right, flip the page, at least in my Bible, to chapter 13, and now you come down to verse 6. "And one," that is of this remnant of Israel, "and one shall say unto him, what are these," what's the next word?
Wounds.
See? "What are these wounds in thy hands?" And he shall answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now then, this remnant of Israel will experience that new birth that Nicodemus was told he had to have in order to go into the kingdom. Now I got to do this in a matter of seconds. This, by far, will be the largest number of people to survive the tribulation. This will then be the seed stock of the nation of Israel coming up and becoming the nation as we come into the kingdom, and over which the 12 apostles will rule. Now, no doubt, all 12 tribes will be represented here. And I don't know if I got time or not. I doubt it. Sharon's already counting seconds. But Isaiah says, "Shall a nation be born in a what? In a day."
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.